Blog Talk Radio.
Wanna love, wanna have, wanna hold you, girl.
So make me shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina. It's the first day of the week. We're here again. It seemed like we was just here last week. These days, it seemed like they just steamed through. How is everybody today? I hope everybody's doing well. I am doing absolutely wonderful. It's a beautiful day. It's a little chilly, but it's a beautiful day outside. And nevertheless, this is the day that Yah has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. And I'm so glad you guys are here with me today. I am telling you, it has been a long time coming. All praises be to His high and His holy name. Shalom, shalom. I hope you guys can hear me. I need somebody to push one. Just let me know you can hear me. All things be well. I hope everybody's doing well and all this good stuff. You know, I was thinking again, like, thank you so much, area code 904. I was thinking again, today, like, what in the world are we going to talk about? But there's so much stuff to talk about. You know, you just don't know where to start. But let's start with this. How did you guys like class yesterday? I mean, you know, it went into a whole nother level, but I think it was extremely, extremely well. Somebody tell me what you thought about all of that, because, you know, we had to address that whole my mom and daddy is in heaven issue, you know, and it was, I think everybody left kind of satisfied, like, oh, okay, you know, because we got to be realistic. If nobody teaches the truth, we have to teach it. You know, and when we brought up the scripture in Enoch that said the spirits that are born on the earth have to stay on the earth, you know, it brings everything back to life. So, you know, we just try, you know, to be as honest as we possibly can, and knowing that wherever they are, the Most High got them. You know, he has them, and they're in good hands. So all praises to His high and holy name. You know, I don't know. Somebody had a guest on the show. Somebody push one to tell me how your guest liked the show yesterday. If you got any feedback from the show. Anybody have a guest on the show yesterday? You want to give us some feedback on what they, you know, saw? Because we saw some numbers and some new numbers that we hadn't seen before. Some stayed all the way through and some hung up beforehand. You know, so I don't know how it went, but I'm curious to know. Let me push this. Area code 717, your mic is open, and you are on the air.
Yes, I had invited a friend of mine to the show, and she said that she loved it. So, yes, I literally just met her, I kid you not, like the other day and everything. She was introduced to me on the phone, and I've been witnessing to her. As soon as we started talking and everything, and it was nice because she knew who the Messiah was and everything, and I invited her to the show, and she told me, I said, how did you like it? She said, oh, she's like, I loved it and stuff. So, yeah, she did like it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, what about the one lady that was Israeli? Did she show up?
Yeah, she was probably there, but she didn't talk to us, so not yet at least.
Oh, okay, because like I said, I seen a number that stayed on, and then I seen a number that was on in the beginning, and they hung up, so I don't know if that was her or not, you know. But all praises be to the Most High. I'm glad that your friend loved it. I hope she comes back again. You know, she may not last with us, but, you know, one plant, one waters, and Yah gives the increase. That's how it works. You know, we've had a lot of people come through here, and some have stayed and some have gone on and you know, either started their own classes or moved, you know, went with another group. So it's a blessing. You know, we're kind of getting used to that. So all praises be. You know, she's more than welcome to study with us, and we just keep doing what we're doing. You know. So how did you guys like class yesterday? What did you think about that whole everything we talked about? Anybody want to push one? Tell me what you thought about it, what you thought about class yesterday. You know, because like I said, we covered some things yesterday that kind of put some people's minds to ease, you know, because most of us have lost people. You know, we've had people who have died, you know, our grandparents, aunts, uncles, mothers, fathers, you know, and everybody has to have a piece with that whole situation, you know, and it just was a miracle. You know, you have to be okay with it. You know, I lost my great grandson, and you know, you really have to be okay with that. You really do have to be okay with that. You know, that he's going to be okay, and I know he's all right, so it's all good. You know, the thing about it is this is such a fantastic story, you know, that everybody gets a chance to really, we really get a chance to understand this story to the level that he allows us to, because sometimes it can be too much even for us to understand, but, you know, we do the best we can, you know, but it's a blessing. You know, when we understand that the Elohim of creation, the Elohim that created all of this stuff is our Elohim, that's powerful. He created it all, and he is our Elohim. Powerful. Yes, he is. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise the mighty God. So, you know, we do the best we can. We give him praise, glory, and honor. You know, because it's in him that we live, move, and have our being. And we thank him for all things, for he does all things well. You know, and even though we don't understand it, because everybody's ready to go. Everybody has their stuff packed and ready to walk out the door. And even though we don't understand it, there's a time for everything. He has a time for that. And when that time comes, it's going to happen. You know, and we just have to be patient with it and do what we need to do. And let it work from there. I'll praise it to his high and holy name. Hold on just one moment. Area code 478, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. Shalom. And class was, I thought class was great. You know, it does help you put your mind at ease with loved ones that has passed on. You know, like, you know, I think about my dad a lot. You know,
mm-hmm.
my older brother. I think about them a lot. You know, it kind of does put your mind at ease.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about them not knowing who you are when they come back, though, you know, you wonder about that. But it does put my mind at ease, and it helps you get through that grieving process.
I think you'll know them. You'll know them because, you know, once they come into his kingdom, you'll know them, but they may not know you. I mean, because, you know, you got to understand they're being born again. You know what
right.
I mean? They won't have any remembrance of past life. And I think that that's where everybody kind of gets a little hung up on that. They're being born again, so they won't have any remembrance of past life. You know, if that's how he does it. They got to be born again. Yeah, they got to be born again according to the scripture. So, you know, they won't remember you, but you'll remember them.
Right.
I believe. I do believe that. You know, because I had a strange encounter one time, and it was the strangest encounter. I met a man, and upon inception, when the man walked in the room, I knew him. Can't tell you how, when, what. It was just a connection that we had that I knew this man. And it was almost as if he knew me, but he couldn't say anything. And he said something to me one day. He said, "Oh, so you're wearing your hair short now." And, you know, I kind of gave, you know how you hear that concerned look on your face, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, how else have you ever seen me with my hair? Because I don't know you. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of stuff going on. That's why I say it's a lot of stuff going on. And that was the same man that I told you that made the statement. I said to him, I said, "I don't have the kind of money you have." And he reared back in the chair. He said, "Yes, you do." And at that moment, I really felt like he knew something that I didn't know and that he had knowledge of something that I didn't have knowledge of. How he would know that, I don't know. I don't even know. It just was weird. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I really don't know. Sometimes you just say, "I don't know." It was just some strange stuff going on. But it was just something about that connection. I knew him, and I had never seen him before in my life. So it might be like that when your dad sees you again. He's like, you know, I know that man from somewhere. I can't quite put my finger on it. You know, but he may not know.
Right.
And he'll be like, it really looks familiar. But it's something you won't be able to say. Because you'll have knowledge, you'll have an inside knowledge that they won't have, you know, because you will have already crossed over to the immortal side. So they, just like now, I mean, there are people that are walking among us that are immortal. You know, the angels walk among us all the time. They come in contact with us. They talk with us. They eat with us. They, you know, they are there with us all the time. And, you know, and they can have a conversation with you, but they can't tell you what they know. You know what I'm saying? I think it's like that. No.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you may want to say something, you can't. The Most High won't allow you to say it. And like the young lady said yesterday, which was so profound, is hiding in plain sight. And you can't go there unless you know how to get there. And when we hung up yesterday, I said that's why the dead have an escort. You know, the angels come to escort them to where they need to be. You know, and that's just real talk. And that's where they are. And they are in that place called paradise. You know, and it's powerful. And they can't come to us and we can't go to them. But wherever it is, it's on this earth. It's on this earth. It's cloaked, but it's on this earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said, well, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. You know? You know the scripture? I'm trying to find that scripture. Let me see where it is. It's Psalms 139. It says, if I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is a light to you. There's no place that you can go that he's not there. He's everywhere. He rules everywhere. You know? And that's what that 3 days and three nights was. That was, it says, the King James Version says, if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So no matter where you go, he's everywhere. He's still ruling and reigning. So to be in the present, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Most High because he's everywhere. He rules this thing. He don't just leave it up to everybody else to do it. He rules it. And they think that that means, oh, I'm in heaven because that's where he is. No. It's interesting, I'm telling you. It's some powerful stuff. Yeah, it's a whole different. And that's the gospel. That's what we are supposed to be preaching, that his kingdom is coming. That he will be representing Shem, and when his kingdom comes, his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom that will never be destroyed. You know? That's what we're supposed to be preaching and teaching the world. You know, that he was given a kingdom. And when his kingdom comes, you know, everybody told him, well, Mama and them is going to heaven, and Mama and them already been judged. No, Mama and them is coming back, especially if you're an Israelite and you died off and didn't know you was. You have to come back and populate his kingdom. And we can prove that in the scriptures. You know. But again, it's the greatest story to me that has ever been told. Ever. You know. Well, you know, what about the scripture that he just told his disciples? If you believe in me, you'll never die. What about that?
That's true. No, that is so true. Yeah, he did. He did say that.
So what happened to that? I mean, because that was at the resurrection. That was at the. He was talking to Mary when they was trying to raise Lazarus from the dead. He told her that. He told her that. You know. So
it's just amazing, though. I don't know, but it's just amazing. You know, we get so many. You just opening up so many questions and thoughts right now. That it ain't me fun.
I know. Let me get this. Where is this at? This is. I don't want this one. This is. Yeah. This. He said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. Everybody say that, but do everybody believe in Christ? The Christ is talking. You know, and that's what the scripture said. Yeah, dude, but you got to believe in the one that's talking. This is John 11:24. And they talking about Lazarus, and he had been gone, and he finally shows up to Lazarus. And Martha said unto him, this is verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She said, I know the story. I know what the story say, that we he going to rise again at the last day. And Yehoshua said unto her, I am the resurrection. Shoot. I mean, that's some big boy stuff. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, now listen to this, y'all, Brother Yehoshua, you got to help me with this. And whosoever liveth and believe in me shall never die. Believe thou this? So if you living and you believe that Christ was black, he was a Hebrew Israelite from the tribe of Yehuda, he was born from the womb of the woman, he came into the earth, he lived on the earth until he started his ministry. He started his ministry and he died. He came but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came, died, and rose again on the third day. If you believe that, he said you'll never die. What does that mean? Somebody tell me, what does that mean? He said, you'll never die. What does that mean?
I mean, I want to say that you never die because you never die, but I don't know.
I mean, we know we die. We know we die. We know the body has to go back to the ground. But what doesn't die? It got to be the soul. We know the breath is the spirit.
Yes.
And so if he said you'll never die, something about you is still living. And if that's the case, where are they living at? There has to be a place where the souls go. And he told the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's what he told the thief.
Yeah.
So paradise has to be the prerequisite for death. And paradise has to be the place where the souls go. Now, we just deal with the souls, and that's one thing. But my question again is, where is Lazarus?
Good question.
Where's Lazarus?
I don't have a clue.
You know, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And I believe that. Lazarus was seen after he was risen from the dead. He was risen from the dead and he ate and walked around and was back in the house with his sisters now. Where is Lazarus? Shoot, where is he? Now he has to be on this earth somewhere. He gotta be
somewhere. But then again, remember what you was talking about in class yesterday about the Wakanda. Mm-hmm. And just now, it could probably be a little portal.
Yeah, it could be close, yeah. Yeah. I remember that, yeah.
So, could it be? It possibly could be.
Yeah, it possibly could be. But, you know, he said the spirits that are born on this earth have to stay on this earth. So if you're born here, you got to stay here. Period. So it has to be here. Wherever he has them, they have to be here. You know, Lazarus got to be somewhere. Hold on. Area code 717, your mic is open. You're on the air.
After he was brought back, he was a person again. So he probably was always living, and maybe he got taken on the slave ships, and he's here too.
Oh, she said maybe he's on the slave ship, and he's here with us. Oh, really? I don't know. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. That's a possibility. That's a possibility. Because he was definitely a black man, so that's a possibility. You know? That's really a possibility. Or he could still be over in the Middle East, on the land of Canaan, somewhere, and never got taken away at all. He could still be there. And whatever age he was, When the Most High raised him from the dead, that's the age he is. The only reason why you keep aging is because we are in this body destined for death. So once he raised him from the dead, he is the age of whatever he was.
You don't know, maybe it's Brother Donia.
I doubt that. I mean, he doesn't, let me say this. It can't be him because he wasn't born again. He was already himself. So it can't be him. Whatever age he was, that's the age he still is. And then even what about the scripture in 2 Ezra, chapter 1, where he said that the leaders will come, they're coming from the east. So the leaders are coming from the east, and they shall lead thee. And all the names that was put up to that, those people have died.
Was Lazarus an old man?
Huh? No, he wasn't an old man. I don't know. I don't know if he was an old man or not. I really don't know. That's a really good question. It doesn't say how old he was. There's no way to try to figure out how old he was. Christ was only 30. He was only 33. And those were his friends. He was only 33. And those were his friends. See, that's the kind of stuff that we do over here at the Yehuda Project. It's just, I love it because it's the meeting of the minds. You know, the minds come together because that word is so doggone rich. It just needs someone to just pick it apart. And you, like I said, you asked some really good questions. I mean, you know, because nobody knows how old he was. But we know Christ was 33. And those were his friends. And that was right before he was killed. So I wouldn't believe that he was an old man. Because those were his friends. know. Now, we know Abraham was an old man. We know Isaac was an old man when he died, and we know Jacob was an old man when he died. So we know that when they come back to lead us, they're going to be old men.
Sister Ina?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think he was, like, he looked like an older man. And I only say that because the way that they age within those times, and people were living to almost 600 to 900 years old. So somebody that was 80 could have still looked like a child. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but I only say that because of how the way people age, that's all. And, you know, people with melanin don't age, so it had to arrive from somewhere, you know?
Yeah, biblical
melanin aging.
So he couldn't have been an old guy. He couldn't have been an older man. He had to be a younger guy. I mean, you know, and I don't know what they look like there. I wish I could. I wish somebody could show me what they look like, but nobody really knows because the stuff that we getting is lies. That old shroud of Taryn and all that stuff. Man, look. You know, not possible. But we one thing I know he is he's alive. Because they was going to try to kill him again. They really thought they could kill him again. They were conspiring to kill him again. Just because they didn't like what Christ had, the Yahweh Shah had done. You know? What he did. It says after they raised him from the dead, they said, But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what thing Yahweh Shah had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? For this man doeth many miracles. They knew what he was doing. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, know ye nothing at all? Now consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should perish not. This spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year. He prophesied that Yahweh should die for the whole nation. And not only for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of Yah that were scattered abroad. So they established the fact that we as Israelite people was considered a nation. Even in the New Testament, we was considered a nation. And they was worried about him bringing all the Israelites back together that was scattered. But it wasn't time for that yet. You know? So, I mean, you know, that's just from the raising of the dead. They was like, oh, that's it. That's just too much. I mean, you know. But that man is still living. Where is he? You go into You go to the next chapter in St. John chapter 12, they conspiring to kill him again. They said, we're going to kill him. Where is it at? It's in 12 and 9, it says, and much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Yahweh's sake only, for Yahweh's sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, but because that by reason of him, because of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Yahweh. So Lazarus was raised from the dead. Where is he? Woo! And well, maybe he may not be. Maybe he's not immortal. Maybe I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's you're only appointed to die once. Everybody be like, well, okay, so if you're only appointed to die once, how can you come back and die again? You won't come back and die again. You won't come back and die again. This time when you come back, you're going to live the life. And if you make the cut, then you'll live forever as an immortal being. And if you don't, you're going to be thrown into the lake of fire to burn forever. You won't die no more. You ain't gonna die no more. Crucial. That's some serious stuff. You know. All I can say is that I am glad that the story that we were given was not the end of the story. I am so glad that I know better now. I'm so glad that I don't believe the information that we were given. I don't have the fear anymore that they have tried to give us because of the narrative that they have spent to try to make us believe that this is the end of the story. And they're still on YouTube trying to scare people into believing that this is it. Christ is getting ready to come. The story is over and we can relax. Amen. I'm so glad that that's not what I believe anymore. I'm serious. Because there's a lot of our family members that still believe in that stuff. When I rode today past the church was packed out over here, still full. And I just smiled. I didn't say nothing, you know. But some people need that interaction. They need that camaraderie. You know, they need to be entertained. They need to go to the place that they consider to be the house of worship and have people sing them happy. That's what they need. And until he opens up their eyes, that's all they have. He ain't say nothing. I seen them coming and going today. And I was wondering to myself, like, I wonder if they really know this is the first day of the week. You know? Because when I was in it, I didn't know. I mean, I really didn't. I felt like this was a Sabbath day, you know?
They don't even have a clue that it's the first day of the week. But, you know, I want to ask you this question, Sister Yaya.
Okay.
And do you like this? You know, when you talking to people, do you like get tired? Sometimes you just feel like you're just weary of trying to tell people and explain to people, because the way people react and the way they try to treat you and stuff.
I don't really talk to a lot of people, to be honest with you, anymore. When I first started, it was imperative for me to, you know, talk to people and tell people, you know, I don't really have interactions with a lot of people anymore because of COVID. You know, I don't, which I probably should start passing out some more flyers and, you know, different things like that. So I don't know, because you probably have interaction with people on your job. Now, when I was on my job, yes, I used to talk to them all the time, younger people, and I would tell them different things, you know, and but again, they can only process the information to a certain level. You know, they can't, they're not going to get it. The light bulb ain't going to come on until y'all cut the light bulb on. So, you know, all you can do, now do you initiate the conversation or do they ask you?
A lot of times I initiate conversations.
Okay.
And it's just like,
and if,
you know.
If it's something that they need to know, that the Most High has mandated for you to tell them, yes, tell them. But, you know, as far as trying to, you know, and I used to do the same thing and tell them who they was and that we the real Israelites. And they, some, you know, it went in one ear and out the other. I mean, it went in. And I believe, you know, they thought about it, but it didn't last long enough because they were too busy engrossed in their life and the things that they had been taught. So, you know, I just dropped the seed and kept it moving.
Right. I bump into so many people on a daily basis. You know, I'm always dealing with people about, you know, our people. And it's like you're talking to people that, and it's like you said, going one ear and not the other. Part of me want to say, man, I don't give up doing it. I just, it's like, man, y'all don't hear. They don't react like, I guess, like I think they would or like I did when I found out. I don't know. I think what caused me to think like that was the other day, right? Mm-hmm. I was at work. One of the guys at work was like, you know, it was more of a thing he was making fun with. And I was like, oh, my goodness gracious. I said, you know what, you better leave this alone because you're going to wind up condemning your own self more than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of, you know, I said, well, am I, and I just asked myself that question, am I wasting my time? Or am I doing the right thing? That kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, you feel the need to tell them, you can tell them, but, you know, it's like everything else. The Christ felt the same way you do. I mean, you know, they didn't believe him either. And a servant is greater than his master. You know, he tried to tell them, and they didn't want to accept him either. You know, so we still dealing with the same people, and you just have to drop the seed and keep it moving. You know, I think what gave me some credence is when I kept telling everybody to store up water, store up, God better go get some food stored up and some water stored up. And they used to look at me like, oh, my God, here she come. Okay, we heard you last week. But then when COVID hit,
it became a reality, didn't it?
And, yeah, all hell broke loose. Everybody then started scrambling. I didn't say nothing. I just, you know, I ain't nothing else left to be said because I look at it like this. You've been put there for a reason. The Most High has put a watchman among them, and your job is to tell them. Once you tell them, your hands is clean. Now, when they start coming to me and saying, you know what, I went over to the store, and it wasn't no water, it wasn't no toilet paper, I said, mm-hmm. I tried to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
But you all thought I was crazy. But not only them, but the people, the management that was listening to the radio calls on Sunday. Everybody had, everybody, their mouth looked like they had been sucking on a lemon. Everybody got real quiet. But I didn't say nothing, you know, because, I mean, our job is to tell them. What, and I didn't stand on top of the desk and I didn't shout it to everybody. I just went around to different people that I knew and I just told them, you know, just, you know, for security purposes and things, just get some water stored up. Store up some supplies for you and your children because this is going to get bad. I mean, for real, don't take this stuff for granted. This stuff's getting ready to get bad. Put some stuff to the side. And that's all I would say. I said, I'm just telling you this out of love. Put some things up to the side so if anything happens, you'll be able to survive and you won't be standing in line trying to get handouts from everybody. And now these young people, these people was in their 30s, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and I was just telling them. And I left it. And I might go back maybe a month later, like, don't forget what I told you now. Okay. But then when COVID hit, everybody went to looking crazy. And I didn't say nothing. I said, hey. And I told everybody, not just black kids. I told everybody. I said, because anything can happen. And nobody listened to me. But then when that hit, everybody went to looking real weird, like, oh, shoot. So, and I know I had to cross their mind like, man, she tried to tell us this. You know, they don't never get it until it's too late. You know, that's how the second exodus is going to be. It's going to be just like that. All of a sudden things are going to go around, it's going to be normal, and then all of a sudden they're going to hear, you know, that there is being, situations are being put in place, you know, so that those that want to leave America can leave America. All the African-American people that want to leave America can leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they gonna blow it off. It ain't going to be something widely known at first. You hear that? Yep, I heard that and blah, blah, blah. And it's not going to dawn on them until it takes another turn. And then they'll say, wow, she tried to tell us. Because y'all's word is not going to come back void.
Not. Right.
You know? People don't believe it, Brother Yerushalayim. They don't believe it until it happens. Just like the hand scanner machine. Remember I showed y'all the video about Amazon and by Whole Foods and how they have the scanner machine now where you wave the palm of your hand over the scanner machine. And if you have an Amazon account, then if you in Whole Foods and you shopping, you can just walk out the store without checking out and they will deduct it from your Amazon account. No, and nobody really believed me until my daughter was in California at the airport. And she was on her way home from the airport and she said, I went in the store and watched the lady do it. She scanned the palm of her hand over the machine, grabbed the stuff up that she was taking, and then she said whatever she wanted to take, she walked out the store with it and it automatically. One of the ladies asked the man, how does she do that? He said, well, do you have an Amazon account? She said, no. He said, well, you have to have an Amazon account. She said, well, how do you, he said, once you pick it up, it's already calculating, but when you set it back down, if you don't walk out of the store with it, it doesn't take it out of your account. So they're getting all this stuff ready.
Yeah, I see.
She was like, mommy, when I seen that, I was like, oh, my God, that is what she was saying. Yeah, and that's how it starts. It starts with one company. It starts as a pilot project, and then they start slowly introducing it into our society and how we do things, and then it becomes so convenient that everybody wants to have it in their stores.
Yep.
And guess what that's getting you set up for? The mark, because you're going to have that chip in your hand in order for you to buy or sell eventually.
It would be so easy for folks to do it because they used to it.
Yeah. Real talk, yeah. So, I mean, you know, what can you say other than to tell them? Because you have so many people spinning the narrative where it's convenient. This is just so convenient. I don't have to worry about anything anymore. I don't have to worry about carrying money. I don't have to worry about carrying my credit card. And my credit card can be at home locked up in my safe. All I have to do is just scan the palm of my hand over the scanner, and I can go grocery shopping and take everything out of here that I need.
Convenience. That's what it is, convenience. You know, convenience is laziness. And because
it's
we get lazy and so used to it.
Yeah. And it's getting it set up for that digital dollar because they are trying to remove paper currency. Everything's going digital. You know, and that's just the way they're going to have it set up. And that's how it is. And I was like, wow. You know, when she told me that, I was like, wow. She said, yeah, it's already in the, you know. And I know that they have construction going on here at our at our Whole Foods store here, you know, and that they've been doing construction and, you know, remodeling and doing things like that. You know, people that are in the know, when you see this, you know what time it is.
Yeah. We know what time it is.
You know what time it is. So, I mean, what can you do other than to just tell them? Because, like you said, it's so convenient. Oh, I don't have to worry about it. Oh, my God, I don't have to worry about carrying any money with me. All I know is I have $10,000 in my account. I want to go to the grocery store. I just scan the palm of my hand over, and it reads the palm of my hand and the metrics on the palm of my hand is connected to the credit card, and it's just easy. And what can you say? Now, we might all have to do that. We might. I don't know how far we going to be, how long we going to stay. We might have to do that. It's scan the palm of your hand for, you know, it to come off your credit card. We all still might have to do that. But now when they start talking about putting a chip, then we got a problem.
Yeah, we're going to have a real problem there because I'm doing it.
You know what I'm saying? I'm real talk. You know, but God's word does not come back void. Again, that's what his word said, that the economy was going to go to, and that's what it's going to.
I just hope we out of here, but getting ready to leave at least by the time.
You know, one world religion, they've already got it in place. Because his word said that it was going to be a one world religion.
Yep, and that's what it's going to be.
And they don't listen to that either. So, I mean, what can you do other than sound the alarm and keep it moving? Because you have to tell them. You have to tell them. And once you tell them, your hands is clean. I told you. My job is to tell you, I told you my hands is clean. That's all you can do. But you know what? They put the convenience of it up on the front, the forefront, and they put music to it and all the added extras to it to make it seem like it's just such a lovely thing. And you be looking like, man, they gonna lullaby you right in the hell. You know? This is serious. His word. And my thing is with the non-Masonics, when you see that, what now? Because, you know, I get it that you guys don't believe in the Messiah and you believe the New Testament ain't real and the New Testament is this. But when that kind of stuff starts happening and you can match it up with the way you're living and what you have to do, now what? How you going to explain that?
Got to rethink everything then.
You would think, but somebody will come up with a reason behind it because they don't want to succumb to the fact that they made a mistake.
That's all pride and ego.
You know? But it's here now. It is here now. People are scanning their hands across the machines, and the money is being deducted from their account. That's New Testament all day.
Yep. Without a doubt.
I mean, it just is what all you can do is tell them. Ain't nothing else you can do. You can't do nothing else. And the thing is you're not going to be able to sneak and take that mark because he said that the moment you take that mark, you're going to get sores on your body to identify that you took it. You'll be able to sneak for a while, But then the sword's going to start breaking out on you, and everybody going to know you took it.
Mm-hmm.
And once you take it, it's over. There's no salvation for you. There's no redemption for you. Game over.
Ain't no coming back from that one.
No. So, I mean, you know, what can you say? You know, and you don't mean to be selfish, but at some point I got to pray for me. You know, I hate to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, for real. Dude.
I do that on a daily basis. You know, I pray for my family. I pray for my nation. I pray for my people, different groups, in-laws, everybody. And I'm sitting there. Maybe I get to a point where I, you know, get tired. So that's the question. I said, well, who's praying for me?
And you got to encourage yourself. I mean, I pray for everybody too, but it's like, Lord, have mercy. You know, and he has it that way on purpose. Because when it comes time for him to open their eyes and wake them up, he's going to do that. He's going to do that. I have every confidence in him. He's going to do it. And the ones who've been buffing us, and their eyes going to be open too. They're going to have to see it from a whole other perspective. Because it ain't no joke. This is happening. And, you know, I had sent my daughter the video, the same video I had showed you all. So she saw the video about Amazon buying Whole Foods, and they were changing the checkout aisles and stuff where you was. And then when she seen it in real life, she was like, whoa, hold on. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's nothing. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. You know? They getting it ready.
Yeah. You know, I know that, you know, make a joke right quick. Like, I know something strange going on now. Well, I got a 13-year-old who went in there and rearranged all my cabinets, cleaned up, and freaking straightened up everything, and I ain't got to do nothing. I was about, you know, I had to ask her, Sister Johnny, I've been praying for her, but you know, I had to ask her.
What?
I said, you ain't got a hold of one of them funny cigarettes, have you?
Right. Oh, they going, you know what? That's why I told y'all, even with the fake UFO, I said, just put one out there. Like I said, just let one sit out in the horizon of Arizona. Just let it sit out there in the horizon where it cannot be explained and nobody can move it. And let it just sit there. Just let it sit there for 30 days.
It ain't going to take 30 days. It's going to take 24 hours.
Woo! Game over. Game going to change at that moment. That's going to be the determining factor. And then just let it disappear.
Yeah. That'll really mess the heads up.
Just one. We don't even need no bunch of them. And we don't need no fake stories that y'all shooting down UFOs and unidentified aerial objects or whatever you call them. I just tell y'all, just sit one of them out there and just let it sit. That's all you can do. And when you do, when that happens, that's it. You ain't going to have to worry about it no more. Not to worry about it no more. You know, everybody's playing with us now. They're toying with us to see how far they can go. And this is a big joke. And, oh, it ain't no, it's not aliens. And well, guess what? If they must know something, because why would they have an alien ambassador?
That's true. That is so true.
Something happening. Somebody ready to show themselves. So, I mean, you know, you can laugh and joke all day long, but it ain't funny. And it ain't going to be funny.
No, it ain't gonna be funny.
Not gonna be funny at all. And you know, most people don't even know that they have an alien ambassador. That the UN has an alien ambassador. And not no alien from another country either.
No. Hey. It's gonna be some shocked people. It's gonna be some really shock people.
I don't know if she still is, but it says the UN secretive alien ambassador. I don't know if she still lives, but she was that in 2010. So whatever, 2010, that's what? That's been what? That's been what, 13 years ago?
13 years ago.
So I don't know what she's looking like now, but she was, that's what her job title is. So why would you need one?
Unless they're real.
It said, last Sunday it emerged that the UN was set to appoint a Malaysian astrophysicist called Mazlan Otman to lead international efforts to respond to visitors from outer space. As the article in Sunday's Time explained, Dr. Otman is the head of the United Nations Office of outer space affairs, but then the article on the Guardian news blog seems to pour cold green grime over the whole story. Dr. Otman is quoted as saying she is attending a conference next week on how the world deals with near-Earth objects. Now, why would they need somebody as an alien ambassador?
Unless they're real. They gotta be real. You have to be real. You know, for you to do that, it has to be real. It has to be something that's tangible for them to do that and waste their time and money hanging somebody which they ain't gonna want to do. It has to be real.
According to numerous reports, Otman will be named as the United Nations ambassador to extraterrestrials if and when they contact humanity.
Well, that tells you two things. That tells you they're expecting it.
Yes.
Expecting it to show up.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we've been saying this for years, too. I mean, we've been saying this for years. For years and years and years. And everybody, you know, they laughing like, well, whatever. So it's nothing you can do. They don't believe it until they see it. So you got to let people alone. I don't say nothing no more. You know, I just be sitting. When the time comes and it's sitting out there, all they going to hear from me is, told you so. Told you so. When you get to work, that's all you got to say when you walk in. Told you so. Told you so. Told you so.
Then I'm going to have a yard full of Negroes.
Yes, you will. From your own family. I told y'all to get some liquor bottles. I wasn't playing. They going to need a drink when all this stuff starts happening. It's going to get ugly.
Yeah, I ain't going to be honest with you. When it do start happening, I'm going to need a drink.
Okay. Woo, what'd you say? You going to need a drink. Now, you can't be drunk. You got to be able to tell them what's going on. Because guess what? They past ain't going to know nothing. They ain't going to know nothing. And that's just too far-fetched for people to even be able to understand.
Right now.
You know, that's just too far-fetched for them to be able to understand. It's too much. They be like, I'm really not ready to deal with that right now. But it is what it is. It is.
Yeah.
So either all these makeshift extraterrestrial ships that they claim they just shot down is getting the people ready because they're ready to show up, or they're distracting us from something else. I don't know, but I know something is getting ready to come, jump off. Something is getting ready to jump off.
We're getting ready to jump off big real quick. And I see that. My son had an interesting conversation for me this morning. And he kind of caught me off guard.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you know, when we leave here, you know, the Most High don't want us worshiping no idols.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's correct. He said, look around. From the car you drive to the clothes you wear, everything is dedicated to an idol. I said,
it is.
He goes, I don't have any of that.
Nope.
I said, you're going to answer me. I said, would you be happy with that? He said, oh, yeah. People will go back to being people. People will go back to doing what they should do. The biggest thing with the black community is this.
Yep, I agree with you. I agree with him 100%. That's
true. And that is talk. We used to, you know, I grew up in an era where maybe I was fortunate enough to see both. I was able to see a little bit of both. You know, I was able to see what the Klan is really about.
Yeah.
I remember them burning crosses down here and me being able to see that. I remember some riots. I remember in high school, you know, when Roots came out, in junior high school, rather. When Roots came out and them jokers tore down, oh, they beat the little white boy to death, leave him asleep. And I remember those things. And then I remember when a period of time when we were, as black people, we depended on black people. I remember those things. And now I see where we at now, and I'm like, boy, you young kids, y'all don't have a clue.
Nope.
Y'all don't have a clue of what was really going on in this nation.
Nope.
So I was able to see all those different things, and I'm thankful for it now because I can afford it for my children and say, hey, don't get this twisted because this ain't what it used to be.
Oh, ain't that's the truth. That is so true. It really is, you know. It is so very, very true. It's something, I tell you.
It's a lot, like you said. It's a lot going on.
It is.
A lot that's happening. A lot that will happen. We're at that point now where there's going to be some things that's going to really shock some folks, I think. I think we're at that point.
Yeah. As I said, one ship, that's all you're going to need is one ship, and that's it, it's over.
Yeah, you think about it. If one craft would show up right now, like you said, one, not
just
two
one.
Or three, just one show up and park in the sky right now, man, these people would lose their doggone mind.
Yeah, they would. Yes, they would.
What was that you were trying to tell me now?
Yep. And they would. Yes, indeed. It is the truth. And then guess what? There's no explaining that away. There's no explaining that away. You can't. You know? There's no explaining that away. You can't do it.
Nope. Not at all.
Nothing you can do. You just got to let it do what it does. And you just have to have, you know, and all you can do. I mean, you know, one thing about Yah's word is not going to come back void. You've been telling people and telling people and telling people until you turn blue in the face. They've laughed at us. They've done everything and said everything, and there's nothing else you will be able to do. Nothing said. Now, like I said, when they activate that woman and that woman step in place and she makes contact and quiet as it's kept, she might have already done it. We just don't know.
They wouldn't tell us.
You know, she might have already done it. You know, the arrival would be just a preliminary thing. You just don't never know. You don't never know. And that's what Reagan said. He said, I wonder if we had an exponential threat from outer space, if we would all come together, because at that point, color wouldn't matter. You know what I'm saying? And it just was, you know, when you have to be faced with something like that, that really wouldn't matter.
Makes you wonder.
So, I mean, you know, they know. You just got to continue to do it.
They're like, they know we leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't know we leave. They know we leave.
Yeah. Question. No question. No question at all whatsoever. It's just, you know, Yah has to be Yah. He gonna do what he said he gonna do. And there's nothing nobody can do about it. You just gotta trust him. And when the time come, it'll happen, like I said, and that's definitely gonna happen. Now, whether that's Yah that we gonna see out first, you know, or what's gonna happen, but you know, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, there was a ship following them. I mean, directing them as to where to go.
Yep.
He said, don't trouble that angel in the cloud. You know what I'm saying? He said, because in my name, he got my name attached to him. He's not going to put up with your mess. You know, follow instructions. Because he, that's, you know, so I mean, you know. But again, those are teachings that they don't have in the church. Those are the teachings that nobody is teaching in the church. Now, all of a sudden, when you Google, you must be born again. When you Google regeneration, now they got that up there, you must be born again. They wasn't even talking like that before we was.
Nope, not at all. But now they kind of have to.
Yeah. They weren't even talking like that. And it's like, well, when did you connect those two things together? Because the way Christianity has the new birth is the burial, the baptism in the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. That's the new birth with them. It has nothing to do with regeneration. I've never even heard the word regeneration in all the years I was in Christianity.
So they don't talk about it.
You know, so. You know. I even heard some of the Jewish people talking about, we're going to have to run into the wilderness. I'm like, why you got to go in the wilderness? You already in the land. You running for it.
They trying to catch up to the story. Now they figured it out.
So, you know, that's why, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, like I said, I know that we have a lot of people on our group, and I know some of you people have been infiltrated in our group from the FBI. We know that. You know, we know. So, I mean, you know, that you're going to hear what you always hear, and that's the story about Yah, and that's the story about us being his people, and that we are making plans to leave. I had even seen an article where they said that the FBI had sent a Caucasian guy to march with Black Lives Matter, and he was the one that was instigating the violence.
Yep. Yeah, I heard that too, sister.
I saw that the other day.
He was
the one instigating. He was marching with them and instigating the violence at the same time.
It makes you think, though, because they do that stuff. You know, they keep a close watch on us, and that's what I call it. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, they had infiltrated the Black Lives Matter organization. And he was the one that was keeping the, let me see if I can find it, FBI infiltrated. Black Lives Matter. Yeah. Here we go right here. Check this out. Hold on a minute. Let me get this up here.
explosive new report in The Intercept details how the FBI hired a convicted felon to infiltrate Black Lives Matter demonstrations in Denver and basically serve as an informant on behalf of the FBI. Now, Mickey Windiker is the name of the informant they used, and he even tried to entrap some of these demonstrators by goading them to commit acts of violence. Luckily, they were not at all swayed by his calls to violence, luckily, and it did not work. But it is worth learning more about what the FBI was up to as protests broke out in response to the murder of George Floyd in 2020. So let's give you the details here, a few important excerpts from the piece. Windiker offered to give the FBI information about protesters. In an internal report, the FBI claimed that Windiker's motivation for becoming an informant was to fight terrorists, and that he believed people who participate in violent civil unrest are terrorists. Now, it's important to note that he himself had a violent past and terrorized many people. We'll get to the details on that in just a moment, but it is telling that he was trying to goad them into violent acts. They refused to engage in that, yet he thought they were terrorists and they were violent.
Yeah, so that is two really interesting components to it. First of all, by his own definition, he's a terrorist, because as you're going to see later in the story, he's the one that goes them into violence in those actual protests. So that's not my definition, that's his definition, and he definitely falls into that category. Okay, second of all, look at the informant the FBI is sending in, a guy who is so racist that he thinks any protest of the police is a bunch of terrorists who are going to be violent. And then he constantly tries to goad them and goad them into that violence that he claims to be so worried about. So that's the deeply racist informant the FBI used in that case, let alone God knows how many other cases, let alone how he tries to create dissension in the group and destroy the group. It's an...
And that's what y'all see, what I'm talking about. I'm telling you. Yes, indeed. Yeah. That's real talk right there. That happens for real.
That's sad.
That's how far everybody's willing to.
That alone tells you that, you know, that something special about us, that they got to do us like that.
They've always done it like that. They've always had somebody infiltrated, whether they be black or white. They've always had somebody in there reporting back to them about what everybody's doing. They always have it. So if they have it with them, believe me, they got it with us. You better believe it. Now, he was trying to get them to commit violent acts so that he could deem them to be a terrorist, and he was the one doing the violent act.
That's stupid. That is
crazy. That's why I said I watch everybody. I listen to every... You know, sometimes some people are gone for a reason. They gone for a reason. You've had a lot of people come through here.
Yeah, I know.
Once you stop, people gonna hear the word of Yah, and if you don't want to hear it, they don't stay. They've gone. They've been coming through here forever, and they've gone. They've gone for a reason. To make something positive negative. That's why when Sister LaVia was talking about they had Caucasian people in the Israelite groups, I don't know about that.
There are some. I've noticed that. I've seen some.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying I don't know about that.
I'm not saying like I condone it. I just say I don't know about it either. But I noticed that there are some groups that have. Some groups have a lot more of them than you think.
I believe that. I do. You know?
But see, from my way of thinking, and I know what doctrine the Israelites teach, how could I possibly join that group? I might do some repenting on my own as a Caucasian, but I couldn't join that group thinking that I was one of them if they were teaching the true the gospel.
Yeah. Well, I think that they've come to, they believe that because they are Gentiles that they have, you know, access to the kingdom because they're Gentiles, and if they attach themselves to us and follow what we follow, that their life, you know, that their situation would be different. I don't know. Take a strong person.
Right.
It take a strong. That's just like when we was on top and we was in the splendor of our kingdom and everything was going wonderful for us and we was in charge. And then here comes a Caucasian person in the midst of our kingdom and said, y'all know y'all about to go in slavery one day. And this thing get ready to turn around and we going to be in charge. That wouldn't go well. Wouldn't nobody want to hear that?
Nope. Nobody would want
to hear that. And all black, everybody you see is black, and everybody in charge is black, and a person comes from the other nation and say, you know the scriptures say, you going into slavery. Well, nobody want to hear that.
Okay, I know.
So, you know, that's interesting. Like I said, that's real interesting. I don't know, but that's what they said. As you heard it for yourself, they hired a violent felon to infiltrate the Black Lives Matter to instigate them to do violence so that they could come in and say, see, told you this is a terrorist group. No. Crazy. And they do it all. They've been doing that for years and years and years. So I just want to be able to put that out there. I mean, for real.
No.
So, I mean, you know, but this is what they do, and that's what I say. We know, you know, the Most High, you know, he don't keep us asleep at all, not one bit. When it comes time for us to know that, he lets us know, and we know we got some that come in. That's consistent. They faithful. They come all the time, and some of them have come and gone. You know? Just got to be able to know what you're doing, you know, because everybody know. And the one thing about it is he has us protected because we still his children. In the midst of it all. So we have a lot, you know, we've been very influential in teaching God's word and getting people out, the knowledge out and the truth out, and to keep the violence down, you know, because, you know, we've always told people to stand down, do not retaliate on nobody, because everybody's outcome is already laid out in the Bible. It's already laid out. And you can't stop y'all's word. You just can't stop it. So the answer to your question is, I didn't really get frustrated with people, but I told them. And I left it alone. And then the circumstances and the situations validated me when it happened.
Wow. Well, I appreciate you telling me that because it does help me out a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was. I was getting a little frustrated.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And when it happened. Yeah, sometimes it's best not to say nothing. Silence is a whole lot. Because they're going to be looking at you to see any facial expressions or anything. It's like, I tried to tell you. You know, this thing is about to get real, real. Because believe me, when they started collecting all the coins and stuff, talking about they was running out of coins, my boss at the time, she was like, man, they getting ready to take the money off the market. I'm like, And she was of the other nation. She was like, they are getting ready to take the money off the market. And this ain't a black or a white thing. This is a yacht thing. That's what his word said, and his word is not going to come back void. It's just not.
The word is definitely not going to come back void.
Come back void. You're going to watch a whole lot of stuff for us all over with. So get ready because it's getting ready to happen. You know, they said it's another, they just had another train derailment. Somebody sent me something in my email account saying it's been another train derailment.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And it's wondering, I'm wondering that if this stuff ain't happening on purpose, given the people. And, you know, as you can hear in the background, I stay right beside the railroad track. You know, and
yeah.
It made me wonder. I be watching whenever they have the people out there working on the train.
Yeah. And this one was near Detroit. Near Detroit. Now, another train done derailed with hazardous cargo. Another one. And we got to pray. We got to pray. Pray, pray, pray. That's all I can say. And we guess what? We coming up on the last of our show. Brother Yerushalayim, I wanted to give you a moment to lead us off in prayer if you didn't mind.
No, I never mind. Never do mind about that.
Okay, let me get my...
Give everybody a second to turn to the east and get ready. Ready, Sosiana?
Yes, sir, whenever you're ready.
Okay. We start all things by saying we pray this prayer through Yeshua the Christ, and we pray that this prayer is acceptable. We give thanks to you, Yahweh. We give thanks first and foremost for all the sustenance you provided for all of us. We give you thanks for the mercy and grace that you provided us, because you didn't have to do that. We give you thanks for watching over our people and our families and our nation. But we come before you today and we ask that you open the eyes of those who don't see, if it be thy will. Touch their hearts as you've touched our hearts to move us in the right direction. We ask that you deliver us out of this nation and out of the nations from where we are scattered at, that we can go to a place where we can focus on you and you alone. We ask that you remove all these negativities that are in our past. Help protect and guide us through this troubling time. We pray and we cry out to you, Father, over and over again. Please hear us. Please deliver us in this time of need. And we admit, Father, we need you and you alone. No one else but you and you alone. We thank you for everything and all things you've given and provided. And we say, blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Hallelujah. All right, you guys, as we continue the rest of the week, we go through this week, we're going to be back here at our regularly scheduled programs. We're going to keep each other in prayer. Don't forget your prayers at 6 o'clock in the morning or at 9 o'clock at night, that we pray together and pray for each other. Keep us all in your prayers as we will keep you in ours. And go continue the rest of the week and enjoy your rest of your week. And we'll see you at our regularly scheduled programs. Shalom, shalom, everyone. See you next week. Bye, everyone.
Shalom.